a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
No George, just Gallant. Hour number two on a Friday. Got to get down on Friday. Your Houston Astros took down the Cleveland Guardians 8-2 last night. They take 2 of 3 from a team tied for the most wins in the American League. And this weekend, another tough test. The Seattle Mariners, first place in the American League West, and all of that Mariners starting pitching. They got some very good starters. Just take a look at the numbers. It is pretty insane, and you hope that the Astros offense is going to be able to keep things going. The best walks, hits per innings pitched in the majors, second best ERA, a 1.58 ERA since April 10th, where they've allowed just 40 runs, which is 23 fewer than any other team, and all five of their starters have at least three quality starts. The starter tonight for Seattle is George Kirby. It's Ronel Blanco, the Astros' ace, getting the call. And then on Saturday, a game that's going to be on Fox, it's Framber Valdez against Logan Gilbert, who's been very good. Then Sunday's the one that you're hoping is not going to be the rubber game. You kind of want to win on Friday and Saturday because Hunter Brown is on the hill on Sunday. You're hoping that what Hunter Brown did from the second through fifth inning is possible again, unlike the first and unlike the sixth. Baby steps, I guess.
Save your runs for Sunday. That's what I'll say.
I agree with
Scores
that.
Score as few runs as possible the first two games of the series.
That's true.
You'll need them on Sunday.
You got to be careful after the 10 runs, right? I mean, you scored 10 runs on Tuesday, and you scored 2 runs on Wednesday. It's stupid. It makes no sense. But for whatever reason, the Astros just...
But it kind of makes sense.
They cannot follow up a 10-run game with any runs at all. Okay. I think that there's a lot to be positive about with the Astros. I'm not going to go full minister of positivity here because things are good. We don't need to talk you up, right? Since they reset things in Mexico City after we killed them with a funeral and after we reset the season for them. This is technically their first reset, but it's really the second reset of the season. We're barely a month plus into it. But hey, whatever. 4 wins in 5 games, 2 of 3 against the team tied for the American League lead in wins. Did you see this? See how well the Astros have been smacking that baseball? Oh, yeah. Give it a nice smack. Oh, yeah. Their exit velocity, 4th in the American League. They're leaving red marks on that ball.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Now, can we get some exit wins?
Yeah. Exit runs.
Can we exit these games with all this exit velocity?
Right.
Turn those into wins?
Exactly. Listen, you know, smacking the baseball. Oh, daddy. Smacking the baseball. Sean didn't like that.
Smacking
the baseball. Well, that's what the baseball says when you thwack it. Oh, that is not
John Singleton
enough.
Was doing that to that baseball.
Dude, John Singleton's doing all sorts of things. I saw this tweet. This is courtesy of Will Kunkel, Fox 26. Dana Brown on first base. We have to kind of piece it together a little bit until Abreu gets back. So if someone can step up and show me he can get to 800-plus OPS, I'll be happy. Singleton, his last 3 games, 4-for-9 with a 444 average, which is 14th in baseball. 2 home runs, the second most in baseball. It's 3-game sample size. That's kind of funny.
3 games.
Okay, 3-game sample size. It's true. 4 runs, the most in the majors. That's true. People forget about that hustle run that he had, running home from third base when on the pass ball. 6 runs batted in, second in Major League Baseball. And his OPS is insane. This is ridiculous. 16-11. Somehow that's only 8th in baseball, but I guess it's a 3-game sample size. So, there's probably going to be one player that's maybe close to 2,000 or something like that. But he has been really good since Abreu was optioned. Will it last? Doubtful, but I'm loving it.
Can we get another weekend or another 3-game series of it? I'll take that.
Please do.
Please, for the love of God, do. We have an interesting text before we talk about some things that are being said by Astros doubters, you know?
The haters?
The haters out there.
Not Josh Hader, the other haters.
Nice.
Dude. I just realized that. I'm going to have fun with that for the rest of the season.
You should, definitely.
Write that one down.
Write it down and just say it whenever Joe brings it up. And I'll laugh really hard at it.
Like, uncomfortably long.
Uncomfortable. And he'll be like, what's happening? And we're like, oh, you wouldn't get it.
Mm-mm.
You wouldn't
Levels.
Get it. You know,
Levels.
We're Joaquin Phoenix and the Joker. Someone texted this in, before we get to all those haters and the liberal baseball media out there. And honestly, it hurt my heart. From the 281. Paul's definitely the guy to tell black people they need to quit complaining about racism. Hey, I would tell that to everybody, that they need to quit complaining about racism. You know why? Because race, it's just a construct. You know what we all are? Humans. That's right. All of us, we're humans. We look different. We sound different. We come in all different sizes, all different shapes. But at the end of the day, you know what we are? H-U-M-A-N.
What matters most? I'm tapping my chest. The left side. It's the heart.
Hell yeah, dude. Also, I don't see color, so I wouldn't know.
Also, we've been praising John Singleton. Where'd this come from?
Exactly. Come
on. I guess Beverly?
Probably.
But Beverly didn't say.
Because we talked about the player empowerment era. We talked about the player empowerment.
It's not about racism.
It's about player empowerment. Because they're very powerful.
Hey, Luka's very empowered.
He is. That's
Jokic
true.
Jokic is empowered.
So if we're going to talk about the people, those naysayers who are daring to question the Houston Astros, did you see what The Athletic put out there? They suggest that there's a slim chance of them being sellers at the trade deadline, Sean. Oh, boy. I'm having a tough time talking to people today.
It's a Friday. It's a holiday show.
It is a holiday show. Cinco de Mayo, baby, but I haven't had any drinks yet. So
can we get Highway Cantina back?
Yeah.
Sellers at the deadline?
This is what The Athletic wrote. The Athletic's Jason Stark noted in his What We Learned in the First Month column, only one team has started a season 7-19 and worse and made it to the postseason. The 1914 miracle, Boston Braves. The good news for the Astros is they're now 11-20, and the expanded postseason is more forgiving for clubs than it was back in the day when the Braves played in Boston. That's pretty interesting. Everyone within the sport believes the Astros will somehow recover. Maybe not enough to continue their streak of 7 straight trips to the ALCS. That, sir, that is something we're going to write down.
Yeah.
That is something we're going to put on the bulletin board material. If you believe the Astros are going to recover but don't believe they're going to make it to the ALCS, I'm sorry, those are not consistent with one another.
Yeah. If you think they're going to make the playoffs, they have to play so well for the rest of the season that they're going to be a pretty good baseball team come October.
And guess who's been through this so many times that if they make it, I mean, they're going to have great odds. There's a part of me that hopes
they still have great odds.
That if the Astros make it as a wild card team, though, the odds get longer and that we can make a little bit more money when they inevitably get back to the ALCS. But this article continues. Maybe not enough to get back to the ALCS, but at least enough to get within striking distance of a wild card. They say since owner Jim Crane said the window will never close, they're not going to concede, but the one day that could be the problem, as Keith Law ranks the Astros farm system 27th. If Crane went all Steve Cohen like last year, he could set the trade deadline on fire with guys like Justin Verlander, Alex Bregman, and Ryan Presley, along with Kyle Tucker and Framber Valdez. Here's the thing. No one's getting traded until they're out of it. No one. And I don't think they're out of it, even though they're 6 games back and they're 9 games under 500. They're not out of it. Anyone who thinks that they're out of it, you know, we did kill them, obviously. It wasn't feeling great that moment in time. But guess what? We are bandwagoners, right? We are media. We are a media representation of you. This is a city that rides high and it rides low. And when low things are happening, generally you don't even want to talk about sports, right? So I feel like at this moment in time, we're all firmly back on that bandwagon. We just need Alex Bregman to, you know, hit the baseball. That would be neato. Splendid, right? He's hitting 200. Move him out of the two hole. Okay? You don't have to bench him. Move him out of the two hole. That's all we're asking for, Dana Brown. That's all we're asking for, Joe Espada. Yeah.
And then in 2 months, trade his ass. No.
Stop putting it in the two, okay? You don't want to do that.
Stop putting what in the two?
He's not asking if we can put Alex Bregman in the two hole. He's not. What, Sean? I'm talking about baseball.
It's immature.
Get your mind out of the gutter. No, you're immature for thinking about that.
Well,
okay?
I said mature, so. That's how mature I am.
People think I intentionally do this stuff. I don't. I'm not that smart, okay? He is batting in the two hole. That's where he is batting.
We can't have the two hole be this stinky, is what you're saying?
Joe Espada and Dana Brown are not asking for permission for us to put him there. You know, they should have to ask us for permission, and they're not. It's not cool. Some more haters of the Astros. Reason for optimism. Once this pitching staff is healthy and pitching at full strength, the Astros should get back in the pennant race. Should, will! No matter how difficult that looks right now. Pessimism. The Astros are 11-20 and in a tie for last place. Only a handful of teams in baseball history has a team dug a hole that big and still made the playoffs. Well, yeah, these are the Houston Astros, bub. So why don't you back off? Damn, I did it again. Gallon and George. No Joe. Just Paul. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Are we okay? I heard it EAS. Have we flooded, seeing as everywhere seems to be flooded here in the greater Houston area?
I think that was for Montgomery County.
Oh, okay.
So north of town.
Well, shout out to our people in Montgomery County. We hope that everybody is being safe. If you're driving on the road, we hope that we are providing you with some sort of entertainment, especially if you are stuck somewhere due to that flooding. Be safe, everybody out there. All right. Up next. Is it possible that Rockets legend Patrick Beverley was doing everything that he did last night for the brand? I'll explain how he might have been next. Stick around.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Basketball, give it, give it.
That version of the song is better than the original Round Ball Rock. That's from an old SNL skit before Tim Robinson became Tim Robinson, featuring Tim Robinson and Jason Sudeikis, in case you haven't seen it. I Think You Should Leave, Netflix. Outstanding show. Quick show, too. Really good sketch comedy. It's like 20 minutes, you're in and you're out. Boom, it's wonderful.
I literally watched it one time when I was doing an overnight shift here. I just watched the entire season.
The entire season?
Because I was here for 6 hours.
Man. It's a very quick show, but it's so fun. It's so stupid. It's kind of on brand with who I am as a human being. So, we talked about Patrick Beverley throwing basketballs a little bit earlier in the show. That wasn't the only headline that Patrick Beverley made, though, because after the Bucks were eliminated from the playoffs by the Indiana Pacers, Patrick Beverley was sitting at his locker being interviewed by the liberal media. And no matter how you feel about Patrick Beverley, this is an all-time, wow, didn't see that coming exchange.
You subscribe to my pod?
Do I subscribe to
you?
I do not.
So you can't interview me then?
Okay.
No disrespect.
Well, Jamal is here.
You subscribe? Okay, cool. Yeah. That's cool.
Again, there were a couple times within a bucket or two. In previous games, y'all have been able to kind of get over that hump. Or maybe. Was it anything they did in particular, or was it just one of those where the bucket didn't go down, there wasn't the stop, they made one? What kind of prevented that you all from being able to get over, kind of like you have in the past?
You move that mic, please, or just get out the circle, please, for me, please, ma'am. If you're not subscribed to my pod, I appreciate that. Thank you.
So Patrick Beverley, with a reporter in that moment right there, told her she can't interview him because she doesn't subscribe to his podcast. She did not move, left the microphone nearby. He told her to move the microphone out of his face, and then afterwards said, no, you need to, like, walk away, babe. Very demeaning. Definitely dickish. I just saw Vanessa tweet about it. Vanessa Richardson, my ex-co-host, sideline reporter for the Houston Rockets. She thinks it is pathetic and entitled behavior. I'm not going to lie. It's funny to watch from afar. If this happened to me I'd like to think that I would love it because it would be show content for the next day, but I think that I'm in the extreme minority in thinking about how this is good for the show. But I think Patrick Beverly was doing this for his show.
Yes. I think this is this was – I think his whole podcast, like, persona – or no, it's not even his persona, but it, how, like, upfront he is with his podcast. Like, every tweet he just links to his podcast. Like, it's just – he's always hustling the podcast. This is where it's like, maybe a little bit of a misstep. I see what he was trying to do. A little bit of a misstep,
it's,
I think.
But it's – Sean, it's all about the brand. It's 2024. Everything you do is about the brand. Look, he was dickish there, no doubt about it. But Beverly is a marketing genius here because, all right, what are you going to listen to Patrick Beverly talk about on the next podcast? Oh, how he threw a basketball at a fan twice and how he was condescending to a woman member of the liberal media? There are some people that are going to like him for both of those things. There are some people that hate him, but they're going to listen to the podcast anyway. This is how you promote your show, baby. You do stupid stuff, and you have everybody talk about it.
Yeah.
So I see through it, but I respect Beverly's genius, even though I will agree with just about everybody talking about this moment right there. He was being a dick.
Yes, and great way to distract from 22-point loss. Just didn't haven't mentioned that, but the Bucks have been eliminated. The Bucks have been eliminated. Patrick Beverly, I know it's not his game, but he was 3-for-11. Mm. he wasn't that good.
Speaking of eliminated, Darvin Ham.
Out.
He has been eliminated as head coach of Patrick Beverly's old team, the Los Angeles Lakers. Sean, you told us during the commercial break about some of the potential next hires for the Lakers.
Yes, in classic Sham Sharania form, when a team gets eliminated, he has the here's why everyone hates everyone column ready 30 seconds after the buzzer sounds, like he did with the Suns and with the Lakers. And then in announcing that the Lakers have parted ways with Coach Darvin Ham, sources tell him and Yovan Buha at the Athletic, an extensive search will commence soon with candidates such as Mike Budenholzer, Kenny Atkinson, J.J. Redick, and if he becomes available, Ty Lue. I just love throwing a coach who has a job. Who's coaching tonight?
Technically tampering.
He's coaching tonight. They're like, he'll be a candidate if he becomes available.
Extensive, in quotation marks, because they're going to ask LeBron what he wants. They take care of their stars. They're going to try to keep LeBron. They're going to draft LeBron's kid. And then they're probably going to hire, speaking of podcasts, LeBron James podcast co-host, J.J. Redick to be head coach.
Either his podcast co-host or Ty Lue, I think, are the two options. And Ty Lue's a good coach. So that one would be, I would understand.
How in danger is Ty Lue? I mean,
I think it would be more of a he leaves situation.
Yeah.
Would you want to keep coaching the Clippers?
I mean, yeah, the Kawhi side of things.
Like, you just don't know if he's going to be playing or not.
I'll be honest.
Ever.
I have no idea if he's playing right now.
He's not.
That's what I thought. Because I was on the treadmill yesterday, and I'm looking up at the TV, and it was talking about James Harden and Paul George and Russell Westbrook struggling. And I'm like, oh, well, Kawhi must have played all right. No, he didn't play.
The two games that the Clippers have won have been before last night, the two games that the Clippers had won were the games that Kawhi did not play. He didn't play in one or in game four. And they won both those. He also didn't play in Game 5, but they lost.
And you know, to stick with this, as we kind of naturally transition away from the Lakers coaching gig and about the Clippers, James Harden, why does he struggle as playoff series go on? Because he was really good games 1 through 4 for the Clippers with that extenuating circumstance. And obviously, the Clippers have a lot of talented players, but he had 26 points a game. He was shooting 50% from outside. He had 2.3 steals and blocks a game and 7 assists a game. But you take a look at what happened in Game 5, and he's terrible. Absolutely terrible, and he's doing something that he does more than anybody. He had 7 points and 7 assists on 2 of 12 from the field. I saw Nick Wright tweet this out. No player has more playoff games with 10-plus shot attempts and 3 or fewer makes. Can you guess how many Harden has? 17 now. Only Jason Kidd and Clifford Robinson have more.
Not good.
No.
Not good.
Check that. He tied Clifford Robinson for the lead. I didn't read that correctly because the stats aren't 100% updated the night of a Pro Basketball Reference.
So, oh, yeah, because you have to add one more the night of. Yeah.
In Harden's last five game fives, he has 11.6 points a game. He is shooting 29.6% from the field and is 20.7% from outside. My theory has always been that when playoff basketball happens, Harden, who is able to coast through the regular season because the effort on a night-to-night basis is not the same that it is in the playoffs, all of a sudden gets more gassed in the playoffs. And as the series progresses, first one or second one, there will be a moment where he just runs out of steam completely. This has been happening since 2014 against the Portland Trail Blazers when Wesley Matthews started backing him down in, I think, Game 5 and Game 6, Harden was terrible. And they lost that series.
Yeah, there's two things that happen in the playoffs. There's the more concerted effort to make him work on defense where it's like, no, just go after him. Like, we'll go out of our way. Because normally both teams are just kind of running their offense in the regular season. Like, you're not game planning specifically for a team most nights. In the playoffs, obviously, that completely changes. So, yeah, you go from, oh, okay, now we're just going to try to get Luka on him every single time if you're the Mavs in this series. And then on the other hand, what he does is not like, it's not a varied attack. So you do kind of get into a rhythm of what Harden wants to do on the basketball court or with the ball in his hand. So you can kind of, you know, again, you not only are you game planning for it, you also just get more comfortable with it. Where it's like, okay, no, I kind of know what he's going to try to do. And, yeah, especially at this age, he can't do it every single night.
Right, exactly. So, it's who he is. I kind of enjoy watching it, not going to lie. But it's weird that he still has the good moments and then the bad moments.
That's the craziest part, is that especially the last 2 years, that he can still have, like, classics.
Exactly.
Like, he can still pull out a classic and then classic in the other way, where it's a absolute stinker.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Galan and George. No Joe. Just me today. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. On YouTube. At ESPN Houston. Someone suggested that I was looking things up in the middle of the segment. Yeah, that's what you do because you have notes in front of you. That's what you do, Home Slice. On the Twitch as well. Twitch.tv/ESPN 97.5. Up next, we go around the NFL. There's a couple of stories that I wanted to touch on. Number one, the saddest player in the NFL. You can't tell me otherwise. This guy is absolutely miserable. And I think this is the best name in the NFL. All of that next. It is Galan and George. First, let me tell you about my friends at the Highway Cantina. You've got fantastic margaritas for $9.75. A tall Texan margarita. You could also do the large marge. It's essentially a scorpion bowl where you got a big old goblet. You get four straws. You and your best mates, you can drink a ton of margaritas together. It's a bonding experience unlike any others. And you know what, guys? That's not all that the Highway Cantina has to offer. Fantastic food, really. Top to bottom. There's ceviche. Now, you got your fajitas. You got everything that you expect out of Tex-Mex. Some of the best salsa verde I've ever had. You have wood-fired oysters there. I mean, this place is awesome. And it's one of these places where it's right in the middle of everything. So you can go before a big game, baseball game, basketball game, soccer game, or something like that. You can go after if you work downtown. Really easy place to drop into for lunch, for happy hour, to impress the boss, to take on a date. I love the Highway Cantina. The Highway Cantina. Tell them Paul Galan sent you by.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Set!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Galant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
No Joe, just Paul. I think the only thing that'll make what you're about to hear sound more sad in this clip from a podcast featuring Max Crosby and Devontae Adams is if in the background we played the ASPCA Sarah McLachlan music. And in the arms of the angel, here is Davante Adams, who sounds like he regrets having asked for a trade to the Raiders to play with his old college teammate Derek Carr.
Look, I'm like the poster child for you make a decision and you live with it, you know, at the end of the day. So I'll never regret anything. I mean, I don't care if it came here and my career went to like, you got to make decisions and roll with them. If you're one of them people that gets hung up on, you know, in hindsight, this and that, then, I mean, you'll lose your mind playing this game. So yeah. I don't regret anything.
I don't know if I believe that. Sean, do you believe Davante Adams when he says, I don't regret anything?
It is very much the, like, I'm the poster, like, the start is I'm the poster child for you have to, like, make a decision and live with it. No one ever says, I made a decision, now I have to live with it when they make a great decision. No one's like, thank God I took that job. Now I have to live with it. Like, saying you have to live with the decision you made, kind of, the language implies regret.
It does. It really does.
I made the decision to marry the love of my life, and now I have to live with it. Like, it's like, no one says that. Especially because they traded the love of his life, which for some reason was Derek Carr, after 1 year. Because Derek Carr's not that good.
Derek Carr is still on the New Orleans Saints.
Fact. And I think the like nature of his contracts, they can't cut him until after like next year.
Correct.
After 25.
Because in true Louisiana fashion, the Saints are in tons of debt.
I think this has to be where the Saints, and now we're kind of, whatever, pivoting to the Saints. This is where they clean their books, right? To be like, listen, we just had to live with this. This is where we finally get right, get our credit score back up, our NFL credit score back up. Let's let some people go, because we're rebuilding no matter what, as long as we have that guy under center. Right? Or do they just,
I don't know,
double down?
Yeah, you if you're stuck with him and you can't get rid of him and you don't have the ability to
just pay him.
Yeah, but I don't know if the Saints can eat it. I think some franchises can eat it. Like the Broncos can eat the Russell Wilson contract.
Yeah.
I don't think the Saints can. I think the Saints can get around paying it all right away, but I don't think they can get out of it entirely. And if they get rid of him, I think they have to give it all to him right there. It is pretty interesting going back to Davante Adams as Junior Broncos brings up. Never thought I'd hear someone regret moving from Vegas to Green Bay.
Or from Green Bay to, yeah. I mean, that
I mean, the other way around, right? Green
Bay
to Vegas.
That has to make it a little bit easier.
Ugh.
Right?
You would think.
That makes it easier.
But maybe Vegas gets old if you live there all the time. Maybe Vegas isn't a place to live.
But, I mean, at the very least, it has all the same stuff that, like, and people love living in Arizona. Or at least, like, athlete, like, Barkley still lives in Arizona.
Yeah,
so.
That's true.
It has, at the very least, it's Arizona plus. Because if he's into golf, it has nice golf courses.
That's true.
I don't know if he's into golf, but it has nice golf courses.
You better get into golf, because otherwise you're going to be on the strip.
I know. Yeah, it's like, that's the one one hobby you can have in Vegas that like doesn't have your coaches in front office be like, ugh.
You know what's amazing? Jamarcus Russell's career could have been worse than it was. Imagine if Jamarcus Russell was a Vegas Raider. I think it could have been worse.
I get what you're saying. I don't think it could have been.
I think it could have been actually worse. Shout out to him getting paid. Again, it's the American dream.
Yeah. That was back when just getting drafted got you paid.
what a life.
God, imagine. Oh, man. Imagine that. Imagine if we still had that.
Oh.
Caleb Williams is just still unsigned negotiating his contract with the Bears.
What a life it would be. More stories around the NFL. Is Peyton Wilson, newest Steelers linebacker, destined for jail? Ask that because there's this Hardo quote. I like to take people's heads off, and I like to fly around with the best of them. I don't know. That's the kind of language that could lead to some testy situations like we're seeing on some of these campuses across the country.
He's definitely he's definitely destined to get suspended based off the way he's talking.
Yeah.
I love taking people's heads off.
You sounded like the student body president of Columbia. Protest occupation zone president. Probably not a good sign. Probably going to get some fines in the NFL. But I bet the Steelers fans love that. That's just how I've played. Grew up in a very blue-collared area. Grew up wrestling. So that mentality's been instilled in me my whole life. When I see somebody with the ball in their hands, I want to hit them so bad. And take their heads off.
I would
advise not taking their heads off.
Yeah, aim for the midsection, I would say. But also, do you think the Steelers are looking at the Bengals? They're like, yeah. Now we got our Vontaze Perfect.
ain't
no fun when the Rabbit's got the gun.
We're going to give Jamar Chase the concussion that Antonio Brown had.
How do you like that, T. Higgins?
Next thing you know, he's going to be doing music videos talking about how he has a whole lot of money.
And pulling his stuff out in Dubai.
And
remember that.
Honestly, I don't remember half the Antonio Brown stories. There's so many. Like the times that he threw the ottoman off of the balcony and almost hit a two-year-old. Or the time where he froze his feet in cryotherapy. Or the time that he tried to fight Mike Mayock.
Called him a cracker, too.
That's true. There's so many Antonio Brown stories. So to answer your question, Sean, no, I don't. I didn't even know there was a Dubai incident.
Really? He exposed himself in a pool in Dubai. That's basically the entire story.
Right,
That's the entire story.
I remember that. Good for Antonio Brown.
No, not good for him.
Well, good for him, but...
I mean, he's got a whole lot of money, so that is good.
He's got a whole lot of things. Hey, Jim Bob Cooter is the Colts offensive coordinator. It's a great name. And he says that the Colts aren't going to restrict Anthony Richardson's extreme athletic talent. I just saw that on Pro Football Talk, and I was like, that name rules.
Yeah, thanks, Coach Cooter.
It's not just that his last name is Cooter and that, yes, Sean, you'd have to call him Coach Cooter. It's that his first name is Jim Bob.
Yeah, that's a strong name.
That's a man who gets those microwavable Hungry Man dishes. Needs them three times a day.
It was already a move for Jimbo Fisher to go as Jimbo. It's even more of a move to go as Jim Bob.
It is.
As like a, I assume, I mean, he has to be, he's an offensive coordinator for an NFL team. He's been an offensive coordinator for NFL teams. To be a millionaire and still be like, nope, call me Jim Bob, please.
I like
he lives in such a nice house and he goes by Jim Bob.
Yeah, I like it. Just bring Jim Bob back.
And you have to say his entire name because just saying Jim Bob is weird. It's Jim Bob Cooter.
That's true.
You have to say the entire name.
All together. Because, yeah, it doesn't sound right if it's just Jim Bob. You're
no,
sure.
No. Like, you know, Greg Olson or whoever's calling a Colts game is going to be like, yeah, we'll see what offensive coordinator Cooter has dialed up. Like, you know, sometimes they go with just Slowick when talking about Bob. No, I think with Jim Bob Cooter, you have to go like, yeah, let's see what Jim Bob Cooter has dialed up for this 3rd and 7. Like, that's what you have to do.
It's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston.
Still?
It's just Paul and Sean today. No joke. We do have a call, 713-780-3776, as we wrap up the 10-minute drill. From Matt in League City, he's got a thought on James Harden. Matt, what you got?
Oh, my bad, guys. Wrong number. I was trying to reach the Josh Ennis show. Thank you.
Well, the Josh Ennis show no longer exists. Nice call, I guess. Josh won't come on this show for reasons that I truly can't understand. He waited on hold for 10 minutes to do that? That's all you got over 10 minutes?
But Josh Ennis show ended in like, was it 2020 or 2021?
I don't know. It ended a little bit ago. Josh is one of my best friends.
Yeah.
What were you going for there? I'm kind of befuddled.
There's so many other shows that you could have said that would hurt Paul's feelings.
Right. Was that what they were going for?
I don't know.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, okay. Oh, I thought this was the Josh Ennis show. Well, he's in St. Louis. He's been there for a while. I don't think he even had this time slot.
I think he did.
No, I think it was... I think
or was he 10 to noon?
I think he was... I think he was 1-4. He was before the blitz.
Yeah, he was before the blitz.
So technically, yes, actually. Okay, you know what? Sorry.
Fact check.
Sorry, person that's been living under a rock for a couple of years or possibly in a coma. I understand. I understand.
By the way, you don't have to wear your mask to go out anymore.
You don't. Manly you too. Don't have to go just wear a mask.
Another update.
Okay. Paul Gallant Show without Joe George. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Look, I'm just going to keep doing it for the rest of the show. I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to do it. Coming up next, hey, a question. Do the Texans have a problem on their hands at a position that we haven't talked about yet after the draft? We'll discuss next. It is Gallant and George, no Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
This is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
No mourning for the Astros. They have won 4 of 5. Big weekend series against the first place Seattle Mariners at Minute Maid Park starting tonight. Ronel Blanco on the hill against, for Seattle, one of their very good young pitchers, George Kirby. Tomorrow, it's Framber Valdez and Logan Gilbert. Sunday, Hunter Brown and Bryce Miller. We'll see if John Singleton's able to keep up his hot play. And we're hoping that Alex Bregman gets moved down in the lineup out of that two-hole because he just ain't bringing anything. We're not saying bench him. There's no one you really can replace him with at third base. But we would like to see him moved out of the two spot because Jeremy Peña is playing well enough to, I think, actually take over in that spot. If it doesn't work, you could shuffle the lineups again. If we're in a world that's post-Dusty Baker, do not stay married to the same lineup on a nightly basis. There's no point in doing it. Jazz things up from time to time, right? No one wants the same thing every single night. You want to shake it up a little bit. So shake it up a little bit. We'll see what happens when the Astros actually release their lineups today. I know this weekend the Kentucky Derby is taking place. We could talk about that as the show progresses. Who's got the coolest horse name? I took a look at them.
Really?
Yeah. There's a couple of articles that were power ranking the names of horses in the Kentucky Derby. I took a look at some of them. I mean, there's one that's Merkin. Merkin AF.
Is that the name? American AF?
That would be a good name.
That's the thing with horse names. You could just kind of name them whatever.
It's called Catching Freedom.
That sounds like a U.S., like World War II baseball propaganda movie.
It does.
Like it's Catching Freedom.
There's also, everyone loves Track Phantom. I think it's lame.
I see what they're going for.
There's Mugatu, for those who watched Zoolander. It's a bit of a dated reference, but I like that one. Mystic Dan. I like a horse named Dan.
That's funny. That is funny. That, why don't they just do that? Here's Dan the horse.
Has anyone ever named their dog Dan? That seems like no one has ever named their dog that. So those are the nicknames of the horses in the Kentucky Derby. I mean, I will say this about the Kentucky Derby. You go out to the bars to watch things outside of football season. This is something that the ladies actually enjoy watching. And they dress to the nines and wear ridiculous stuff. I was at 8th Row Flint last year. Not 8th Row Flint. What's the other place that's nearby? It's on White Oak. It's that whiskey lunch. Permission. I was at Permission. They had a party, and everyone was all dressed up. I totally forgot the Kentucky Derby was taking place. I got there, and I was like, oh, everyone's looking swanky here. Hell yeah. Let's go. But I missed the Derby. I totally didn't even know it was happening. That's how little I care about it, you know? It's a horse race. Whatever. Who cares?
Yeah.
There's some cool horse names. Yeah. And speaking of horses, to the Houston Texans, have a workhorse at running back this year. I like that. The slow clap. So I saw a couple of stories that involve running backs on Pro Football Talk, and it has me remembering that the Texans running back situation and interior offensive line are the two biggest questions for their offense this year. Not many questions, right? You feel pretty good about it on paper. But I do think it is something to keep in the back of your mind. The Texans passed on Saquon Barkley. They didn't want to go to a certain amount of money with him. The Giants also passed on him. The story that we saw today, the Giants did not even give Saquon Barkley an offer to return. Eagles gave him a big deal. He's in Philadelphia instead of Houston because of that. The Texans traded for Joe Mixon, but, I mean, they got Joe Mixon for a seventh-round pick this year. Just a seventh. The Bengals didn't want him. And we know the Bengals are cheap. He was not making a ton of money. The Bengals were going to cut him. I suppose they feel like their running back situation with Zach Moss and the other guy who they had last year is fine. But Joe Mixon to the Bengals was a cast-up. There's a chance he's not Joe Mixon anymore. A very good chance, I would say. I don't know how big it is. I'm not saying it's like 50-plus percent or something like that, but there's certainly a possibility that trading for Joe Mixon and giving him a contract extension will be a mistake. And when you think about what they did in the draft, not drafting a running back until the sixth round, Jawar Jordan out of Louisville, who was tough but small, and per a lot of draft reports, doesn't really do anything super special. You know, he's not super elusive. He's not super fast. He just has amazing vision. And maybe that's all the Texans are looking for in Bobby Slowick's offense. But this year they're going into it with Joe Mixon, Jawar Jordan, the sixth-round pick, and Damian Pierce, who they are saying is going to be a big part of what they're doing this year. And I want to believe that. I have not given up on Damian Pierce yet, but the Texans gave up on Damian Pierce last year. And is it going to change so much for Damian Pierce in one offseason to the point where it's actually going to work for him? Or if Joe Mixon gets hurt, what do they do? Like, is this enough? This is one of those positions where you actually do want to have multiple guys who are good. And I know everyone's obsessed about the wide receivers, and you were thinking to yourself, well, what happens if Tank Dell gets hurt or shot again? Or if they're down Nico Collins and they only have one of these wide receivers, what are they going to do? They got to get Stephon Diggs. Well, they got Stephon Diggs. I don't think they necessarily needed to get that extra wide receiver, but you really are in a spot where if you get an injury to your running back, you could find yourself having the same kind of ineffective running game that you had last year. And I thought that that hurt the Texans multiple times last season.
Yeah, it's definitely a position that you don't need to invest a lot in. Like, no one was asking them to draft a like running back in the second round. Actually, someone probably was, but no reasonable person was actually expecting them to draft a running back with one of their first two picks in the draft or it with any sort of heavy investment after the Joe Mixon deal.
Right.
It's just, yeah, it looks a little light right now. And it is a position that you can maybe just kind of skirt by, maybe add someone right before training camp or someone who a training camp cut from another team. But it is something that you're really going to need Joe Mixon to be the workhorse for this team. It looks like at the very least you can get an improved Damian Pierce, but even an improved Damian Pierce from last year isn't someone that you're super excited to be your feature back if anything happens to Mixon.
Yeah.
And the other guy's a sixth round rookie who, you know, sixth round rookies as far as running backs go, hey, they can be good. It's a little bit different than, you know, a sixth round quarterback that you're absolutely not expecting to play, barely expecting to be on the team. Six round running backs a little bit different, but that would still be asking a lot from Jordan.
I agree. And especially when I look at the scouting report, I'm not going to watch the film because the film can always be misleading. There's going to be highlights of these guys all online, these guys coming out of the draft, and you're going to think that they're all awesome. And it's awesome that they all got drafted. It's awesome that they're all getting an opportunity in the NFL. But until we actually see him out there, we truly do not know. And it does seem like from all scouts, if I'm going to trust these scouts, and you know, I trust them with a grain of salt, especially these guys who are later round draft picks, it seems like the thing that he offers is vision. It's not size. It's not power. It's not speed. So we'll see how that works if he even gets any opportunities. I am excited for another opportunity for Damian Pierce. I hope that it's not like Damian Pierce getting one or two carries a game or no carries a game.
He's like getting like DMPs.
Pretty much at the end of the year. You're right. One last story as we talk football here before the final hour of Gallant and George on a Friday. There is a story about one of the top picks in this past draft. And it is as insufferable as the story about Mitchell Trubisky, who I believe drove to an interview with the Chicago Bears and did so in a 1997 Toyota Camry. And we're led to believe that Bears head coach Matt Nagy and Bears general manager Ryan Pace saw him in that 97 Toyota and thought to themselves, damn, this son of a biscuit in his brown, ugly-ass Toyota, he's a blue-collar guy. No glitz, no glamour. Not like that Patrick Mahomes guy. Son of a Major League Baseball player. Hashtag cake eater. Not like that Deshaun Watson guy. Byproduct of a God-fearing, overly Christian program. He's going to be too much of a Boy Scout for us. No, we want the guy with the 97 Toyota. You have a Camry? No, Corolla. So that was a really annoying story last year. We have one that is just as annoying this offseason. I don't know how many people saw Sean Payton kissing his own ass at a press conference.
That is the perfect way to put that press conference. It was a lot of patting himself on the back for drafting Bo Nix.
He must be doing a lot of yoga to be able to do what he did there. But he was right, saying, well, I tricked the Vikings to trade up for J.J. McCarthy. Because you know what I wanted all along? I wanted Bo Nix. And they wanted Bo Nix because of this. This is the stupidest thing that I think I've seen this year when it comes to draft coverage. Will I say ever? No, because the Camry story is pretty dumb.
This might be worse than the Camry story.
Let me read the story.
Yeah, let's lay it out and then we can debate.
Bo Nix was reaching down to grab his bag as he and the Denver Broncos brain trust were wrapping up 3 hours of meeting time and getting set to head out to the field for his workout. What's in your backpack? Sean Payton asked. Nix reached inside and grabbed the roll of tape that he'd explained he'd need for his ankles if he was going to train. He also pulled out a spare pair of football cleats and a lacrosse ball that he said he'd use for rolling his back. And what wasn't in the bag was just as significant, mostly because it confirmed the reputation that preceded Nix was real. He was the son of an Auburn quarterback who followed his dad's legacy, struggled, and then built his own on the other side of the country. The 24-year-old had long cut the image of a gym rat, someone who couldn't get enough football. And in that moment, that morning, the Broncos became true believers. I'm lost. I am lost. Truly, I am lost.
The end is wild. I don't know what they're trying to do at the end. But the fact that the three things he had in his backpack were all football related, which, by the way,
you don't need a backpack for that.
Yeah, that. Also, one of the football related things was a lacrosse ball. It's a ball for a different sport that you could go, well, you know, I use it to limber up.
Smart way to roll your back. I will agree with Bo Nix there.
But it is just, it's all football related.
But what in the actual F does what wasn't in the bag was just as significant? What?
Yeah, because he didn't have like a chapstick in there. Like he didn't have anything that wasn't football related.
How did it confirm the reputation that preceded Nix was real?
That he's all football. Because he has tape, a lacrosse ball, and I forgot what the other one. Oh, cleats in his backpack.
So it's because he had three things in his bag?
Again, one of them's a lacrosse ball. One of them's tape. And one is
you don't need a backpack.
Football.
Use a drawstring bag. I play flag football, you know what I have in my drawstring bag? My gloves, my cleats, and a mouth guard.
It's all football related.
It's all football related.
That confirmed what we already knew about
Paul
Gallant.
Does that confirm I'm a god at football? I mean, this is the stupidest thing I've seen. And man, the Broncos spin that they're trying to put on the sixth quarterback drafted in this year's draft after the Russell Wilson experience backfired so spectacularly Aren't you thankful that Sean Payton isn't the coach of the Houston Texans? Look, I wanted him. I'll admit it. I wanted Sean Payton. I am so thankful. So thankful that they moved in another direction. And this guy was dumping subtly on the Houston Texans ownership. And here he is, not confirming this story, but probably a part of this story, where the Broncos saw that Bo Nix was wearing a backpack and there were three things in it. And they were like, yeah, this is our guy. Because he's all football. Just like Mitchell Trubisky was
humble.
Humble, and I suppose, you know what, to those people who do drive Toyotas, those things last forever. So, frugal. Economically conscious.
He could have had a 2014 and still have been frugal.
He had a 97 because he cares.
Honestly, though, that just speaks to the different era of college football that was 2017. That he didn't have an NIL deal, and so he just did not have a nice car. If he came along with NIL, it could still be a Toyota Camry, but it's probably a new one from whatever Chapel Hill Toyota Nissan dealership and Hyundai.
Hyundai, gosh.
He has a 2024 Hyundai Elantra. No, that told us what we already knew about Mitchell Trubisky.
713-780-3776. What car is ugliest? Because you said Hyundai. I don't think there's any car that's uglier than a Hyundai. I think that they have the ugliest looking hoods, the ugliest looking front of the car. Like I think they look mid AF, as the kids say.
Whoa.
Is Bo Nix the Hyundai Elantra of 2024 NFL draft?
Of this draft class, yes.
Yeah, he really is, you know?
Okay.
Very used.
The quarterbacks as cars in this year's draft.
Yeah. Honestly, like, that would have made more sense, the comparison. Like, if Bo Nix had been driving a 97 Corolla, I'd be like, it's just like Bo. You know, it's worn down, beaten. It's been all over the place. All right. It is
a lot of miles on it.
A lot of mileage, that's for sure. A lot of pit stops. Galan and George, no Joe, just Paul. We're getting you hyped for Astros and Mariners starting tonight. There's a big change that needs to happen. And if you haven't seen enough data to prove that Alex Bregman needs to be moved out of the two spot, we'll give you more next. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.